Hi, guys. Tonight I have a very special guest for you all, my sister-in-law, Jessica. And she is not just my sister-in-law, guys. She has an incredibly successful podcast called Kids Bible Story Podcast. Over 5 million episodes downloaded to this day. And in this episode, she shares that she's in over 140 countries. And she sits down with me and we talk about mindset, we talk about business, we talk about motivation, we talk about the practicalities and tools of podcasting. I think this is applicable to anyone who is just wanting to be inspired by someone who is a mom and a wife with a couple of kids, who homeschools, lives a very normal life, who has created something really beautiful and really successful. So if that's you, I hope you stick around and listen to the full episode, because there's a lot of nuggets of truth in there that I think are very, very important, as well as encouraging and inspirational. Hope you enjoy. I know we chatted about this a little bit, but can you kind of paint a picture for those who are listening? Obviously, I'm sure many people may have never come across the podcast or anything like that, and they're new to what your podcast is all about. So can you go back to the beginning and kind of paint a picture of what made you want to start a podcast around kids' Bible stories? How did it all begin, and what made you want to create a podcast?
Yeah, so seems like yesteryear. It was 2017. is when we started the podcast called Kids Bible Stories. And it really kind of happened because at that time, my husband and I really enjoyed learning from podcasts ourselves. anyways. And so that led me to then looking up like kids' fairy tale stories on podcasts, because like short trips to the grocery store, things like that. And my kids at the time were 1 and 3.5. And even though the stories, some of the language was a little over their head, I also noticed they could process most of it, and they were intrigued by sound effects and voices, and the stories were like really well done. So then I thought, well, this would be a great opportunity to use this to present the Bible to them in an engaging way without a screen. And we can just do little minutes here and there, you know, running errands. So when I went to look, though, that was like the one niche where there was really not much out there. Either the stories would be for Bible stories for kids would be way too long for older kids, like teenagers and stuff, or they would just be so dry and boring that like, even I was kind of like, I don't really want to listen to this. and the Bible is so fascinating. And I mean, it's really incredible and it's alive and active. And I was just like, this is a shame. We can do better. Like our worship is fantastic. Churches are great. Like, this is a shame. We can do better than this. So that was where I was like, there's a gap here. I would like to fill this gap for my children. And it was kind of like, you know, when you're like, you're like wishing for something, you're like, someone should do something about that. And then you're like, well, why don't you do something about that? And yeah, that's kind of how it came to be.
Stop being lazy, Jessica. Yeah, because I actually couldn't. It's actually crazy when you say that it was 2017, because I was like, wow, that really is like, it's been a long time. Like, I can't even believe it's been like 4 years, really.
Yeah.
Since you started it, which is, yeah, I mean, that's really crazy. And to think about, because it's like I knew that was why you initially started it, but I didn't really, it is interesting even just for me to think about, you know, things that I've done, and you look at it in retrospect and you're like, yeah, there was this thing. It's kind of like moms out there who see a product that they're like, wow, someone should invent that. And then you're like, someone actually did stop and go and like invent a product that I now use and appreciate as a mom. And that's a big deal. So, I mean, were you like intimidated? Like when you were thinking about it, you're like, oh yeah, this would be great. Did you actually ever think you would go and do it? Like, did you surprise yourself that you even went and did it?
A little bit, but also with the context was, so painting the picture, I'm also a nurse at this time. I've got the two kids. My husband is a nurse, and he's always dabbling in various things because he just loves to try different things. So at that time, he wanted to make a podcast. So he'd already looked up the logistics of how to actually create one, put it on Apple, all of that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And since he'd done that, and I was kind of telling him my opinion on this situation, he was like, you could just make one. I'll show you, like, if you do it all, like, I'll show you how to upload it and apply and that stuff. And I was like, okay. So I think it wasn't so intimidating because, like, entry to it wasn't crazy. It's not like I'm spending thousands and thousands of dollars to enter the game of this podcast world. Yeah. And because he'd done a lot of the legwork for it, and worst case, I was like, worst case, I'm just making it for me and the kids. They'll enjoy it. It'll be a fun thing out there for my children that I could technically have out there for a very long time for them and grandkids or whatever else. And so, yeah, I guess because the investment wasn't so much, I wasn't too nervous. And also, it's not like I was selling a product where I'm like, hey, mothers out there, spend, you know, $50 on this product. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry, you wasted $50.
Right.
So because it didn't feel so overwhelming at first.
Yeah, because the barrier to entry wasn't, like, intimidating. You didn't need, like, a $20,000 loan or anything.
Yes. If that happened, knowing my personality, it would have been a lot harder to get going.
Right. Yeah. So I know we talked about, like, because I don't remember even a lot about how this started. So I know from what I know, I don't think you had, aside from Josh, like you said, kind of had, he had looked up some of the logistics and things like that. Like, do you feel like you had any help outside of that, or you were just kind of like, because even I, knowing what you do, I'm like, easy to understand for children, which is not an easy thing, like, at all. And you take something and, you know, you craft it into, like, a dialogue and this and that, that might obviously doesn't most stories, obviously some dialogue, but, like, most stories, you don't necessarily have, like, the characters speaking back and forth. So you're having to basically, like, create that. So do you feel like you gleaned wisdom from anything or anyone on how to do that? Or did you just, like, hit the ground running and just figure it all out as you kind of went along?
I think I just kind of figured it out as I went along. And I think it's one of those things where, like, I didn't feel qualified to do it in that I don't have a seminary degree. My degree is in nursing, and I'm just a very normal mother for anyone who knows me. But at the same time, I kind of thought to myself, like, well, you're a mother. Like, you get the idea of how children like to hear a story and how they understand concepts and engaging with sound effects and different characters and voices. So when I was writing out the stories and stuff like that, I felt like I just kind of drew from my experience of being a mother. Mm-hmm. And we read a lot of stories in our house. So, like, seeing how kids' stories kind of go and that sort of a thing really, I think that really helped me. But yeah, I had no podcasting help. Like, I actually remember reaching out to an old coworker of mine because she had a very successful podcast at the time. And I was like, oh, maybe she'll, like, I have some questions, like, podcasting questions for her. Mm-hmm. And they, like, her, she must have been doing very well. Her, like, secretary got back to me and was like, no, we don't have time to talk to you right now. And I was like, okay. So really, I think it was just kind of, like, drawing on motherhood experiences and just really having that passion for it and realizing, like, I'm not always going to feel qualified. But at the same time, I also – there's a lot of things that I can't discount, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And yeah, and that is a good point about not even realizing, like, what skill sets you might have acquired just, like, through life, like, through going to library story times and reading to your kids and, like, all these other things that basically helped you to create what you were creating. So do you feel like at any way along the way you, like, doubted yourself? Like, did you ever create an episode, put it out there, and you're like, is this crappy? You know what I mean? Like, is this terrible? Were you ever nervous? I mean, obviously it's meant for kids, but, you know, anyone could be listening to it.
Yeah.
So at any point in time, did you, like, doubt what you were doing? And you were like, maybe this is not, like, gonna work.
Yeah, I really did think it was just so normal and nothing, like, amazing that I didn't think it would ever get to the size that it was. I really thought I might get, like, 10 or 15 downloads an episode, and it would really be, like, my immediate family and friends who are listening. Right. So yeah, I didn't think it would be as interesting to people as they write me and say, you know, we really enjoy this. Like, people write me and say, like, my kid listens every single night, or we've listened to them all twice. Like, that blows my mind.
Yeah. There's, like, a cult following.
Yeah. And it's really, you know, and again, it's like your kids will look at you and be like, my mom is just my mom. Like,
right.
So it just, I'm such a normal person. And I hope that encourages people listening, because I'm very normal. I think I just am trying to be obedient to the gifts God's given me and the passions that he's put in my heart for this.
Yeah. Well, and next time they mouth off to you, you can just tell them, listen, I'm a celebrity. People love me.
That's hilarious. I know, they're like, whatever, mom.
Whatever, you're annoying, leave me alone.
Yeah.
And so I know we chatted about this a little bit, and part of what I hoped in, you know, in talking to you with other people, and we'll get into obviously the stats in a second, but I think what is so easy for us to do as humans, I think especially sometimes as women, is to kind of discount like our ability to create or to do things, or to say to ourselves, like, I'm just a stay-at-home mom, or I'm just a mom, or I'm just whatever, fill in the blank. And like, who's going to want to see? I've even talked to women in my business. No one's going to care about my life, Kelly. Like, who's going to want to see my life on Instagram? And I'm like, you would be amazed at who wants to see your life on Instagram, or who wants to, you know, hear what you have to say. And so what would you say to someone who's maybe in that mindset, maybe they're in a similar spot to you, or maybe they've thought about things, like they've come across something along the way and they're like, yeah, that would really be helpful if this existed. And they've maybe even daydreamed about creating something, but they're either creating excuses, like, I don't have time, I don't have resources, or they're even just telling themselves a story that isn't true. Like, I'm not gifted enough, I'm not talented enough, I don't have the skill set. Like, what advice would you have, or what kind of help do you get past any of those things if they did come up for you?
I think a big thing that came up for me that's similar in that arena would be like limitations. So for example, I don't have a recording studio. I don't have any amazing equipment. And here I was going to make this podcast out of our cute little condo with a microphone and GarageBand and my Bible. And it can seem really limiting. You know what I mean? Like, oh, this is all you have. And so to people out there who want to start a business or have an idea, I think it's easy to look around and say, well, I can't because I don't have X, Y, and Z. But I distinctly remember reading in a book. I love reading books. And so around this time when I made this, there was a story that stood out to me in a book I read about, I think he was a filmmaker, and he wanted to make films, but he was limited in the equipment that he had. So he started filming with whatever phone or camera he had. Well, it ended up coming to be that style film was like his thing, and he became known for it and people loved him for it. And his point was, like, you should see your limitations as freeing, because in one way, when you're limited in what you have, you're like, well, guess this is all I have. Got to get to work. Like, you don't waste so much time obsessing and researching over all these other options. And so looking around and seeing, like, if you want to create something, whatever that might be, look around what you already have and use what you have. Like, I think making the excuse that I'll do it when I have X, Y, and Z, if you're really honest with yourself, can be an excuse. Like, I always think about this, we homeschool, for example, and I hear people say, I can't homeschool because X, Y, or Z. But a lot of the times, like, for example, they might say, I can't homeschool because I don't have a homeschool room.
Yeah.
But if you pull back further to that thing, a lot of times it's kind of like, well, if you really had a homeschool room, you wouldn't all of a sudden suddenly become motivated to do all of the things. Like, it's usually a deeper thing than that. So I think being honest with yourself, having real conversations, and seeing the limitations that you might see that are in front of you as a beautiful thing. Like, I was limited to, I had to record on only certain days at night because the kids had to be asleep, because I didn't have, you know, child help, and I was working as a nurse some too, and all these things. But I just love limitations as well. This is perfect. Like, this is the time that you're allotted. You've got to get it done this time, and this is the equipment you have, and start with that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think, I think that's a really cool way to look at it, as like, it almost, limitations limit you, but that, seeing that almost as it simplifies things. It's more so like, yeah, if you had all the money in the world and you had this, you know, giant house and whatever, maybe your husband made millions and you could do anything, you might actually kind of become paralyzed with your choices. So yeah, I think that's a really good point. And like you said, whatever is limiting you might actually end up being what makes you different.
I totally agree.
Yeah, and I think that's actually a really good way to put it. So with some of these limitations and with kind of going back to the fact that you were, I don't ever like to say the expression just a mom, but, you know, yeah. You were a mom, a nurse, you know, like you said, you weren't, it wasn't like you were this, you know, reality started a podcast or something. So, you know, you're a mom and a wife and you are working as a nurse and doing all these things. So like just to encourage people, you started, you said in 2017, obviously we're in 2021. So your podcast is around what, four and a half years, something like that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Four and a half years.
How, I guess, when we get like, because I want to walk through numbers and things like that. So when you started, how did you have a goal of I'm going to do X amount of podcasts, or I'm going to do one a week, or I'm going to do, like, what was kind of your rhythm when you first started?
I first started, my rhythm was to do, I had a goal of like 2 to 3 episodes a month. Okay. And that was it. And I am good about being consistent. And I think consistency helped me out a lot in the mm-hmm. podcast world, because it builds your listeners think that you're really going to be consistent and they want to listen to you, but also it like a lot of, I feel like podcast or writers or business stuff, it's the long-term game. And if you're willing to be consistent over a very long period of time, it really will pay off.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. I think that's true of so many businesses. Like mm-hmm. you basically just, if you stick around longer than everyone else, you'll be the one that's
left. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you're just ready to wear everyone down, but yes.
Yeah, it's really true in so many ways. There's so much, I was listening to Tim Ferriss. I actually mentioned this in the last episode I recorded, Tim Ferriss talk about podcasting. He did this really long episode on it. And he said, you'd be amazed at the statistics of the podcast graveyard that exists. And he basically said, there's some stat out there that it's something like 50% or something of podcasts that have started and are, you know, exist on the web are only 10 episodes or less. Like, so people quit mm-hmm. by episode 10. So mm. it really is something to be said. If you have even like 30, 40, 50, 60 episodes, you mm-hmm. have like far surpassed the average person, which is really interesting. So, so how many episodes now are you at over the like 4 years?
Right now, I think there's 220 up and available, but we've really made like 270, but I archived some of them for various reasons.
Okay. And so to get an idea, and I don't know what you have like numbers. I know we talked about having some numbers, but like how many, do you know about how many total downloads you have?
Yeah. So to give you an idea, so I started in 2017 and 17 months, I had 1 million downloads, and now at 4.5 years, we have 5.6 million downloads, and it's in over 145 countries, which is crazy.
That's crazy. I mean, how many countries are there?
Oh, I had to look it up because like Anchor gives you this, Anchor's the middleman for me. Mm-hmm. And they gave you like this, you know, your year wrapped or whatever. And I came to 145 countries. I looked it up. I want to say it was 192 countries, and there's like 3 that aren't considered countries that are not on the list.
Yeah, so you're in like 70 or 80% of countries, which is wild.
Yeah, it really is.
Like, that's really crazy, especially considering you have to stop and think about even too that your podcast only exists in English. Like, how crazy is that it's reached that many countries? Like, that's like wild to think about. So so only a year and a half really to hit 1 million downloads, which really is crazy.
And that's where I go, I think the consistency thing was huge, because the consistency and then the naming of it. I think when you're doing any kind of business thing, it's just kind of like, if you're willing to observe and use a little bit of common sense, mm-hmm. when I created the title of it, I was kind of like, well, if I'm a mother typing in the bar what I want to find for a Bible story, what am I going to type in?
Kids Bible
stories. And yeah, exactly. So I was like, it wasn't taken. I was like, well, I'm taking it. So I just did a lot of like normal, like, I'm a mother, what am I looking for? Here it is. I'm going to use this title. And then I was really consistent, because even when I looked at the time, there were maybe only like 5 or 6 other kids style podcasts. And the graveyard situation that you mentioned, mm-hmm. that was a lot of it. Even then, you could tell like they stopped making episodes a year ago or something like that. So mm-hmm. I think the consistency really was huge. And the listeners could see, hey, she will continue to make content. We can look forward to hearing her again next Sunday.
Yeah. No, I definitely think that makes a lot of sense too, because yeah, if they go looking for your podcast and you haven't, you know, done one in 3 months, they might think, oh, maybe it's over, or mm-hmm. yeah, maybe there aren't any more. So what is this kind of meant for on a practical standpoint? Obviously you don't have to, you know, give us like the nitty gritty numbers, but on a practical standpoint, what did the gradual like success of the podcast look like for you in terms of, you know, you have 1 million downloads. So for someone who might not understand the podcast world, what could, and you could even give us like fake numbers, like what, mm-hmm. what is that, what could that equate to? Like what is 1 million downloads? What could that equate to financially for someone? Like how does that, could you kind of explain a little bit around like advertising? Obviously it can look different for different people, mm-hmm. but what can that kind of equate to for someone who's considering maybe trying something like this?
Yeah. So in the download, in the podcast world, you usually get paid per, they call it like CPM, mm-hmm. which is for every 1,000 downloads, you get the price that you have agreed upon. So like it might be, you get $17.50 per 1,000 download.
Okay.
And if you had that ad going, it'll always make you money as long as it's getting downloads, and you get money for every single download. But it gives you a gauge of like, you know, so if you have $1,000, you're going to get $17.50. And obviously that price can range. That price can go up to, I have read at least for the varying, like you could get, you know, $30, $35,
mm-hmm.
which when you add all of that up, if you have 100 episodes going with ads and such, and you're actually getting a lot of downloads, it really will stack up.
Yeah.
So I guess it all just depends. Like, I think the beauty of podcasting is if you are in the spot where you're like, hey, I just need a little extra cash for groceries or vacation, or I want to supplement and maybe not work full time. Like
mm-hmm.
I believe it really is possible that you could supplement that.
Yeah. And I know for you, obviously recently you've shifted some of your work. So what did it have to like get to for you where you were like, okay, it wasn't until like, I don't know, 4.5 million downloads that I felt like, okay, I actually might be able to step back from nursing. Like, was there a certain, you know, kind of like you were like, I need to match my income, or I need to, like, what was kind of the point where you felt comfortable, like with, okay, I can actually shift, you know, my work environment?
For me, it was definitely match my income. But then because I'm very, again, I don't naturally think I'm a creative person or entrepreneur. I would not say I am typically, like, I love nursing. I love clock in, clock out. I'm going to get paid, task oriented. But yeah. So because of that, even when I matched my income, I was like, well, let's wait a little longer, see if it gets more, or like I need to match my income. Plus I needed for it to be at least a year consistently matching that income.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I don't know, just kind of the business world, like that's kind of the gauge. If you're trying to start a business, it should be at least about a year of consistent income at the price point you want it to be before you kind of, you know,
right.
Make changes is what I read. So that was my goal. And it definitely went above and beyond what I was making, which was a true blessing.
Yeah.
And so I did that for 16 months. At the 16 month mark that happened, I was like, I think it's time, because that factored into it. And there were also just other things with, you know, I'm homeschooling the kids. That's taking a lot more time, nursing, my nursing job and this, and my husband's work and stuff like that was changing. So it was just too many things going on all at once. And right. I felt like it was like, okay, now's the time. Like it's more than enough.
Yeah. And do you feel like the pace, cause I know you've obviously come across some challenges in terms of like, okay, so the Bible only has so many stories, or, you know, things like that. Do you ever feel like you get to the point where you're like, what am I going to do? Like in terms of episodes, or do you feel like you've been able to get creative with like recycling content or revamping content, or does that intimidate you going forward of like, how am I going to keep this going on forever?
No, it actually hasn't been too intimidating, because a natural progression for me has been, this started when my oldest was 3.5 and now she's 7. So they've kind of just aged up as she's aged up, because okay. when I make the stories, I really kind of think of my kids and how I would explain it to them. So I might recycle some of the similar stories, but it's I might add more information than I did in the previous ones. Is there able to handle more, that sort of a thing? So I think it's, I'm going to naturally just age it up as they go. And then I also realize I'm always getting new listeners, which always like surprises me, but there's always new people coming in. So, you know, I'm not too worried about it. I think my ultimate dream would be to do translation. And I know I've talked to you about that before. Oh, like that's my dream is to make enough money to be able to pay to get translations. So, but yeah, I'm not too concerned about it, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and apparently you would only need like a couple of languages maybe.
Yeah.
You're already in zony countries. They're figuring it out on their own.
Yeah. I mean, they're making their way. So it's working.
Yeah, goodness. It's amazing. So transitioning from away from kind of like where, you know, you've been able to go, which I obviously hope that, I mean, I would think that that would encourage a lot of people. I know, like, even when I think about it with my podcast, I'm like, that's like, I would be like, you know, so I've been doing mine for, I think like 4 or 5 months. Mm-hmm. And I think to myself, like, I would literally be flabbergasted if in 4 years someone was like, I was saying, I have 5 million downloads, you know? So I hope that that is encouraging. I always say to people, well, everybody starts with zero followers. You know? Yeah,
that's right.
Like everybody starts with their, even Joe Rogan, he did his first episode, you know? And like he was someone who had no listeners at some point, you know?
I think it's one of those things like you hear pastors say all the time, like you can't despise small beginnings. Like we all start somewhere and that's okay.
Yeah, I know. It really is. And obviously, like, it's going to look different for everyone. But even if, you know, it took someone 10 years to get where you are at the same time, like, that's still incredible. You know what I mean? It's still like, what an amazing, you know, thing to be able to do. So do you feel like going into this, obviously, you talked at the beginning, like, why you started it, how you started it. Do you feel like the fact that you went into this wanting to fill a gap or a need that you saw that was out there was important in kind of your long-term success, as opposed to someone who's like, I'm strapped for cash, or I just need to make money, or I've got to figure this out, so I'm just going to chase the income. Like, do you feel like the fact that you were not chasing income and you were more so chasing filling a need has really helped you become successful in that way?
Yes, I think it really took off the pressure since I had my nursing job and I was like, this is a true passion project for me. Excuse me, that it took the pressure off of being like, if we don't have this money, you know, I don't know, like I can't buy groceries or something. That would be a different experience for me. So, because I had my nursing job and this, I think it took the pressure off of me for sure. It's still, I will say this too. In some ways, because I have my nursing job, I didn't put as much into the podcast as I could have because I didn't have to have it go. So I don't want to make someone think that crap, like my situation is not her situation. In some ways, you might have a fire lit faster for you because out of necessity, you have to do it, you know? But for me, there was a real joy to doing it. And I had the backup of my nursing job. But at the same time too, now I'm having to juggle the two things, which was a lot. And it really had to make me like kind of date myself and know myself and be like, what can you handle? What are your strengths and weaknesses? Time management, like really having to be honest and being like, are you being lazy or are you actually going to do this today? That sort of a thing. So I do think you have to realize like, what is your motive for this? And even long term, like defining what is success for you. It may not be money. It might be that I'm happy in what I get to help somebody else, that I'm learning something, that my kids see me doing something meaningful. Like success does not equal money by any means. So I think defining what that looks like for you is really important going forward.
Yeah, no, definitely. I completely agree. Because I think obviously with anything, like even as much as you love the podcast, I'm sure there are days where you sit down and you're like, I kind of don't want to do this. You know what I mean? Or like, I'm tired today, or maybe I'll just do it next week, you know?
Yes.
Like, and I think that's kind of a misnomer out there is a lot of people think that anyone who's doing, I don't know, influencing, blogging, whatever it might be on social media, or they've, you know, created a business of some sort, that every day is just like magical, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. It's definitely not. I mean, there's, I remember when we were moving from houses and I was like, I wanted to use the excuse of, this is a really busy season of life. And it really was a busy season of life. But I remember a very loving friend was like, hey, if you want to stay in this game, though, like, you've got to sit down and you've got to do it. And I was like, yeah, you're right. And it's hard and you have to be intentional. Like, we haven't had a TV in our main living area for a number of years before this, but things like that has helped a lot, or having boundaries around my phone use, things like that. Like, you have to be intentional about it. And it is, like you said, there are misnomers out there. People think, oh, well, she has a lot of help, or, you know, she has a nanny down the street, or grandma lives with her. Like, mm-hmm. Most women that I know that are successful in what they do, that's not the case. You know, they find ways, they do ask for help, but it's not like a magical easy peasy walk.
Right. No, I think that's, yeah, it's very easy to tell ourselves stories of like, there's no way she's doing that without X, you know, or, mm-hmm. and it's very easy. Yeah. To create those narratives in our head. So do you, feel like there was anything, whether it be at the beginning of this or the middle or wherever you were along in your journey, that you look back now and you're like, gosh, I wish I knew that when I started, or if I started the podcast all over again, I would do X. Like, is there anything along the way that you've learned that you're like, oh, that would have saved me a lot of time or a lot of headache?
Yeah, I would say, so for the first, for gosh, 2.5 years, I didn't make any money at all. And it was just, and it still is, I'm doing it out of the passion of my heart. I really enjoy this, but for 2.5 years, I was doing it, not making any money. And it took until about the third year that I started to make money. So that was a long time. But looking back, if I had reevaluated opportunities, meaning like technology changes, structures of technology, apps, options that are out there for podcasting, I could have potentially been making money earlier, and I wasn't, and that was definitely on me. So looking back, I would say, if you're creating something, definitely if what you're looking for doesn't exist at the time, because in 2017 there was not near as much as there is today for people who are podcasting, don't give up. Like, keep looking, keep searching. And the only reason that I ended up doing well with it helping me make money and be able to quit my nursing job was because you actually started looking into stuff and asked me that question. And I was like, oh, well, if I were to do it all over again, I would do Anchor. And it made me look into Anchor again. And because of that one little thing, it opened up the door for me to be able to have ad revenue. And that changed everything for me. But mm-hmm. I had been burned by ads in the past. I'd had other platform experiences for podcasting that didn't work well. And I just kind of wrote it off instead of like reevaluating, looking online, seeing what else is out there as time went by. So
yeah,
that's one thing. And then the second thing I would say is just really be genuine and staying true to your mission will speak volumes to your audience. Like, God made you, you, I know it's cheesy to say, but it's true that you are so unique and you've been given this, the specific time and location you live in, the set of skills and life experiences that nobody else has. And if you're genuine to that, it's going to come through your product. Like, I remember reading another fantastic author who said he'd get questions all the time from people being like, what pencil do you write with when you write your stories? And he would never answer the question, because he said, you're all wanting to follow this like magical formula. Like, if you buy the pencil I have, you're going to write just like me. And he's like, no, that's not how it works. And so I love that, because looking back, I like you can look at others, and you should look at others in your business arena for ideas and loose guides, but there's no secret formula. And there's this pressure out there that you think like, there is, and you should do it like everyone else because it's worked for them. Mm-hmm. And I've had, you know, like, I'm sure you have too, like many well-intentioned people trying to encourage you to do X, Y, and Z with your business or things like that. Like, mm-hmm. I've had people like talk to me about doing a lot more Instagram stuff, but that's just not how my business works. Well, I've tried it. It doesn't work. And so I just mm-hmm. need to be genuine and true to what works for me. And, mm-hmm. and that's that. And I think that would have been helpful to remember that from the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. And if for anyone listening, Jessica always wears a particular outfit when she podcasts. Lucky, lucky outfit.
I do. I sit in a special corner at all times. And I, yeah.
No. That's hilarious that someone wanted to know what pencil he wrote with. Yeah. Like, I would never even.
Isn't that funny?
Because that's like, sounds like you're like, so do you think if you buy this particular gel pen that he writes with, that you're all of a sudden going to have magical words come out?
Isn't that crazy? But I know. And that's why, like, reading, I love reading books. And this is from the Tools of Titans. It's Tim Ferriss' book. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the stories in there. But it is so true when you think about that. Like, I think we all are so good about tricking ourselves. And like, I feel like no one lies to you more than you lie to you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, like, you can lie to yourself and be like, well, if only I had that pencil, then I'd write just like him. And you're like, come on. Yeah. Let's be honest. There's other things you should do first and foremost to help you be a better writer or whatever it is you
like practice.
Be. Yeah. But instead, I mean, I would see that in, like, my husband used to teach CrossFit, and, you know, people would be like, well, if I buy these shoes, I'll be able to do this or that. And I'm like, you should probably just sleep more at night and, you know, practice the foundational lifts. Like,
yeah,
but I don't know. Like, I guess people kind of like, they just want a formula or the quick fix. And
yes,
not always how it goes.
Well, and I also think people want it to be kind of like sexier than it is. You know what
I mean?
Oh
yeah,
like,
that's true.
It's like Michael Jordan just stood on that one line and did three, you know, what are they called? Three pointers, like over and over and over and over again. Like, that's what made him great. It wasn't some sort of fun, magical drink that he took, or it wasn't some, like some outfit or some shoes. He just literally did thousands of them over and over again. And it's like the answer that nobody wants to hear.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, actually, I just literally podcasted for 5 years straight. That's how I got successful. And there's really nothing magical about it.
Yeah.
It's like, I just worked really hard and I showed up consistently and I didn't quit. Like, that's the formula.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm sure, like, you've shared stuff of you having to your old apartment and stuff, the way you had to do your business stuff. And it's not, like you said, it's not sexy or magical, but it has worked. It's what works.
Yeah. I used to podcast next to a toilet. So, you know, like whatever you got to do.
Yeah.
It has good acoustics in there. So,
yeah. Yeah. And if it makes anyone feel better, I still podcast literally in my closet. I've upgraded to a closet now. But y'all have really good acoustics because there's so many clothing like items in there. So it's not as magical as you think it is, but it can still sound and be a great product.
100%. I heard Tim Ferriss say that. I feel like this is the Tim Ferriss like love podcast.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, guys. We really like him. But he recorded with what is his name? The guy from Fight Club, not Brad Pitt, but Edward Norton.
Oh, yes.
And he said that he learned a trick from Edward Norton that apparently if you're in a room that sounds like hollow or like glassy, you can put pillows in the corner of the room. And it won't sound like that anymore. So he said he's recording with Edward Norton. And he was like, oh, I'll fix this. Let me just go put pillows on the corners. I was like, that is the weirdest.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Who knew?
Yeah.
That's so funny. But yeah, even that, like, even it just made me think of that because I thought to myself, like, you have two celebrities recording a podcast and they're shoving pillows in the corner. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, that's the reality of this kind of stuff. So for anyone listening who wants maybe who is like, okay, like maybe they're kind of self-talking and they're going, okay, I really need to go like record this podcast or I need to go start. So I know you mentioned Anchor already, which is also what I use. So like that's what we're recording on right now. I really love Anchor. So aside from Anchor, are there practical tools? And it could be anything. I mean, it could be, hey, go listen to this podcast episode, or I read this blog, or, you know, I really like this microphone. Like, what are tools that you have enjoyed or you feel like have served you well?
So I would say I use GarageBand. If you do any kind of like editing more than just editing like an interview, GarageBand actually works really well. So GarageBand I've loved. I use the Yeti mic and I've had that for 4 years and it has been fantastic. It's definitely a really good microphone and it's not, you know, out of this world expensive by any means. It's lasted a very long time. So I would say that's a really good quality microphone if you're interested in that. But if you can't afford that, honestly, just start on Anchor, just start and go. And like, I can listen to my first episodes and I kind of cringe because they sound so different than the way I do them now, but that's okay. Like if that's where you start and you progress and you learn and you grow, that's fine. Like, you know what I mean? Other things I would say is get either some kind of like calendar or journal. I think brain dumping out what you have to do to get your podcast or business up and going is really helpful. And literally writing down, like, in December, I need to do this for the episode. I need to, you know, apply for an LLC or whatever it is you have to do. And then triaging out those things and writing them down. So it's kind of like, it just, to me, it makes it so you're not having to hold it in your head and is very practical in understanding what steps you need to do in order so you keep it organized and not overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love, and maybe this is because I read these around the time when I started the podcast, but Tools of Titans by Tim Ferriss. but I love this book because if you're doing a podcast, if you're, you know, really anything, it's just a fascinating book, business, all that stuff. It's so cool because he compiles so many of his interviews into short little snippets and he asks them all the same questions. Mm-hmm. And you can see that while some of them are different, they all have a lot of similarities in their actions. And it's just so encouraging to see that people can do, you can do a lot of things in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feels like it's very encouraging and motivating and kind of like there's more than one way to skin a cat kind of a thing. You read people's stories and you're like, oh, that's really cool. I would have never thought about that, but that makes total sense.
Yeah.
So Tools of Titans by Tim Ferriss, fantastic book. And then I've actually really loved a book by Brendan Burchard called Motivation Manifesto. It's a shorter book. He's a, like a high performance trainer coach. I like it because if you're going to do a podcast, again, I think it goes back to the consistency thing. And in order to stay consistent, you need to keep yourself motivated. And this book does a really, really good job about practically keeping yourself motivated and kind of really getting to the mindfulness of why you're doing what you're doing, what are your motives, how to stick with it, that kind of a thing. It was a very, very good book. So I'd highly recommend that one as well.
Yeah, that's so interesting you mentioned him because I'd never heard of him until maybe 2 weeks ago. I listened to Jenna Kutcher, who has the Gold Digger podcast, and Brendan and her are apparently good friends, and she interviewed him. And that was the first time I'd ever heard of him, but he was really fascinating to listen to.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, I mean, it was just, it's one of those like on my top 10 lists that I want to like give my kids one day. Because really, no matter what you're doing in life, like if you want to accomplish a certain goal, you have to have that motivation. That's really hard to keep at times, whether it's distraction or, you know, life happens, that kind of a thing.
So, 100%.
So it's really, really good book.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. That's really helpful. So for someone who is listening to this and they're like, oh, that's really cool. I didn't know your podcast exists. Obviously, it's called Kids Bible Story Podcast. It's on pretty much what, all major platforms?
Yeah, all major ones, Spotify, Anchor, when I said Anchor, I blanked out. Yes, it is Anchor, Apple, all the others. It'd be on any major one.
And so what would you say the age, like, range or appropriateness is? Like, how old do you think kids would need to be to listen to it? Or
I think I would say 4 to 8.
Okay.
Typically, I do, you know your kid best. So, like, right. I would say give it a try. I have younger kids who I get mail from that say they listen and can grasp and understand, and then older kids that also still enjoy it. So I would say 4 to 8.
Okay. And then obviously you guys do have your Instagram. I know you'll make like announcements on there, right? And kind of episodes and things like that when new episodes are up.
Yeah, that's pretty much my Instagram is just for like when I release episodes. So you get like a little cliff notes of what it's going to be about.
Okay, awesome. And I think that was, I mean, I know that's pretty much where everyone can find you. I know you have your website too. Is there anything on there that you would want to guide people to? Like, I don't even know everything that's on your website.
I would just say if you want to listen to the podcast, probably the easiest way is to go to the website. It's kbspodcast.com.
Okay.
And because on that, there's a listen now button at the top, and certain people, depending on what country you're in, only have certain access to certain like abilities to listen. So on that one, it gives them all of the options of how they could listen, and they can click it and it'll auto open on there.
Okay, perfect. That's good to know. And I will put all of that in the show notes too for anyone listening. So I'll put all the links up to those so you guys can get to those most easily. Thank you so much for doing that and taking some time out of your night to answer those questions. I know that I think a lot of people will find that really encouraging and really valuable.
Yeah, I hope it helps somebody out there.
Yeah, I definitely think it will. So thanks for tuning into this episode, guys. I hope you really enjoyed it and found it as encouraging as I did. I always leave conversations with other
business owners, entrepreneurs, really encouraged and inspired to continue digging in and doing the work that I feel so passionate about. I hope that if you are someone who is looking for inspiration or motivation, that you found it. And if you are someone who is interested in all things business, I have a couple other previous episodes that if you haven't caught, you should go check them out that were released this past week, all around mindset and thought processes. Where do I start when it comes to business? So be sure to check those out too.